This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Akua Dixon was standing at a street corner in the part of Brooklyn known as Bed-Stuy, about to perform with her string quartet in a coffee shop, community center, jazz club called Sister's Place. As she was turning heads, standing in a sequin white dress and sparkly silver shoes with 4-inch heels.
You have to practice them.
It took a little effort before she could play cello in those.
Walking and sitting and playing.
It wasn't the first time people have noticed the contrast between Akua and her surroundings. She was the only kid carrying a cello through the Bronx housing projects where she grew up.
As a child growing up, I looked at orchestras on a black and white television, and I always saw Toscanini or I saw Leonard Bernstein, and not only was it an all-white orchestra, it was an all-male orchestra.
She was one of the few young African-American women playing symphonic music in the 1960s.
Growing up in this society, playing a classical instrument, it wasn't easy in that environment, but it also wasn't easy being in the projects carrying a cello. So I really didn't fit in there either, you know.
There's a little bit of everything on her resume: Broadway, classical, funk, and jazz.
In this industry, everybody has to have a box, and there was no box for a jazz string quartet. But there are other ways that strings can be used in this music.
I'm Christian McBride, and on this hour of Jazz Night in America, Akua Dixon and her string quartet will swing at Sister's Place in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. Akua grew up playing mostly classical music, first in the borough-wide orchestra in the Bronx, then in the city-wide string orchestra.
My life was filled with just playing string music ever since I was a little girl.
But by the time she hit high school, she started running into barriers. The classical music world was mostly white and mostly male, and the rest of society was segregated.
In high school, I was in Cosmopolitan Youth Symphony or some young people's symphony orchestra, and we even traveled. And I remember specifically the African-American students having to stay someplace separate, you know, from other parts of town.
But she stuck with it and wound up studying at the Manhattan School of Music.
I stayed there until my fourth year. You have to realize that this is the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, and it was a time of civil rights and a lot of marching and people not tolerating a certain kind of treatment. They were standing up for their rights.
Those protests finally forced the classical world to change, and orchestras diversified a little.
So the law was changed so that they had to hire a certain number of minorities at that point. I think it was 2. Instead of hiring African Americans, this opened the door for them to hire women.
But there were still a lot of doors closed to Akua until she got a call from the Apollo Theater.
From Harlem, USA!
While I was at the Apollo, I really had a home with a lot of African American string players. There was a lot of writing in the 60s, either for Dionne Warwick or The Temptations. Any of these bands had great string parts.
After years of Bach and Brahms, Akua was backing up James Brown.
It was exciting. Can you imagine being 19, 20 years of age and getting to work with James Brown?
This is a man's world.
But classical music still was mostly a man's world.
This is a man's.
They didn't have dressing rooms for women because they never hired women before. So they had to find some place to stick us. So they found a room way up on the top floor in the rafters that they said, okay, well, you can go up there. And we played string quartets in between. Noel and my sister Gail had a great idea to form an ensemble called the String Reunion. And at first they were playing all classical music. I wouldn't join unless we were also going to play music of African American composers. So they made me the director of new music and gave me that job to find some pieces. So in addition to finding some works, I asked different jazz musicians to write pieces for us, you know. And this was a chance for them to try writing for strings. And I think that was a good beginning for me.
She's been doing her own thing for 40 years now, but it took a lot of effort.
For me as a string player, I've been able to work and play and fit in everybody else's environment. You know, I can play the music of Henry Mancini. I can play the music of Brahms, you know. But having people respectfully sit in my ensemble and play my music the way I'm hearing it, I needed a lot of determination and focus to really get that.
Akua played an original composition called Determination at the Brooklyn Cafe turned Friday Night Jazz Club called Sisters, and we were there to record it. So let's hear it.
Thank you.
That was Determination by Akua Dixon. She played cello with her string quartet, including Frederica Creer and Leonora Falcone on violin, and Ina Paris on viola. They were backed by Freddie Bryant on guitar, Kenny Davis on bass, and Akua's son, Orion Touré, on drums. When Akua decided to start playing jazz, she says she had to learn how to break free and really improvise.
And this was the early 70s. There was an organization called Collective Black Artists, or Jazz Mobile, that Dr. Billy Taylor had, that I went to and managed to get a lesson from, an arranging lesson, say, with Frank Foster, or a bass lesson with Reggie Workman.
She studied the bass to learn how to hold down the rhythm and how to swing.
The cello functions as the bass voice in a string quartet, okay? So I had to be able to walk a bass line. I didn't want to just do pizzicato, which is plucking with my finger. I wanted to use my bow. In European classical music, the rhythmic emphasis is on the first beat and the third beat of the measure. So you have one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. In jazz and swing, it's the reverse. It's on the two and the four. One, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And the sound that I was hearing made much better sense to do it that way. So that's what I started doing.
She also got experience when she played shows with some great jazz musicians.
The experience of getting to play an orchestral concert with Duke Ellington, and I was freelancing in New York, so I got to do Cry of My People with Archie Shepp and meet a lot of improvisers, definitely inspired me to want to know how to improvise and how to add that to my own personal music that I was composing.
She was exposed to a lot more music by black composers as a member of one of the first racially integrated symphony orchestras.
The Symphony of the New World was going on, and the conductor, Ben Steinberg, he had a lot of really strong African-American players, also African-American composers, Hale Smith, Coleridge Taylor Perkinson, Duke Ellington. It was amazing to hear and to see, and really helped me formulate a different direction for myself.
Akua brought all of those influences into her own music. African-American spirituals, classical, Broadway, jazz. She's been writing an opera, off and on, for the last 20 years. Let's listen to a piece from it called Akua's Dance. Thank you. That was Akua's dance. When we come back, Sister's Place has played an important role in Central Brooklyn for almost 20 years. It's been doing its part to bring back some of the live jazz that used to thrive in the neighborhood in the 50s and 60s and celebrate the African-American culture that sustained it. That's coming up next on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. This week, we're at a jazz venue that's also a cafe and a meeting place for people in the neighborhood of Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. It's called Sister's Place. Sister is Viola Plummer, the woman who founded the place and the collective that runs it.
Tonight, we are going to hear Akua Dixon's band. It's going to be a wonderful night. Thank you.
Volunteers run the place. They host poetry readings, community gatherings, and every Saturday night for the past 20 years, live jazz.
Brother Omawale Clay and a part of the Sister's Place Collective.
Omawale Clay has been one of those volunteers from the beginning. When Akua performed, it was a warm night. Sister's front door was wide open and the music wafted out to the street. People walking past stopped to look through the glass storefront at the band and listen, which is the goal.
The greatest thing, I think, is for people in the community to be able to walk down the block and hear their music, and for us to offer it to people how it should be listened to, you know, not over clanging glasses and dinner, but, you know, really come to appreciate the music. So if you really love jazz, then it's coming here to hear the music, you know. You can chit-chat and bang glasses and eat dinner somewhere else before you come. But when you come here, come to hear the music.
Let's give it up once again to Akua Dixon. Every Saturday night is special here at Sister's Place. Where on every Saturday night we bring you the greatest artists on the planet who represent this art form we call jazz, the music of the spirit.
The place was packed for both sets, and a lot of the crowd got personal shout-outs when Viola Plummer made a 40-minute speech between the sets.
We would not be able to endure 20 years without some people who said, we want to keep the music in the community.
Sisters means a lot to all of the musicians who've played there, including Akua Dixon. She's been playing there since it opened.
Y'all have tolerated a lot from me and inspired me to grow, and I really thank you so much.
She tried something new there that night, singing. Here she is doing Nancy Wilson's Black is Beautiful. After that, we'll go back to Akua on the cello with Ladies Blues.
Onyx that is gleaming.
makes you laugh or it makes you weep. Black is mystery. Black is beautiful. Can't you see?
Thank you.
That was Akua Dixon doing Ladies Blues. Before that, we heard her doing Nancy Wilson's Black is Beautiful, featuring Akua Dixon on cello and vocals. When we come back, we'll go to another jazz venue that's thriving in Brooklyn, in a senior center. Stay tuned to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. New York City's jazz scene has changed its address a lot, all the way up and down Manhattan throughout the 20th century. It was up in Harlem in the 20s, at Minton's and the Cotton Club, then to 52nd Street in the 40s. And later it moved even further downtown to clubs like Smalls. Those venues are in the history books. But Brooklyn was also home to some of the greatest musicians and clubs from the 30s through the 60s.
Yes, many clubs, very important clubs, Baby Grand, the Continental, Brownies. Of course, the East, how can you ever never forget that? And some of our greatest musicians have come from Brooklyn or Central Brooklyn, as we generally call the area in which most African Americans live. Well, Max Roach, Randy Weston, Betty Carter.
Sam Penn grew up in Bed-Stuy. And when he was younger, jazz was everywhere in the neighborhood.
I started listening to jazz when I was actually 12 years old. Had a jukebox in the neighborhood candy store where I used to go. And I remember listening to George Shearing's September in the Rain.
By the 60s, there were fewer and fewer clubs in Brooklyn. To hear jazz, you had to head over to Manhattan and spend a lot of money.
To listen to some jazz in the middle of the week at the Blue Note, and we spent over $200. And we we said, this is insane. We have space at our place, why aren't we doing this the same?
Sam got together with some friends who loved jazz and started a Friday night concert series in a cafeteria at a senior center.
And 40 Friday nights a year, we have this music at a very reasonable rate.
Seniors who remembered the old club scene came out to Jazz 966. That name came from the address, 966 Fulton Avenue. They listened and danced and socialized, and they still do.
Meeting people and watching the spirit of the people who do dance. See, they got some people who got the good spirit that come here.
A recent Jazz 966 show had about half the room on their feet and on the dance floor.
We have a great jazz audience. We have a great music audience, a venue where people also love to dance. I think they both feed on each other. The musicians feed on the audience. The audience encourages the musicians.
Hello. Hi. How y'all doing?
Musicians started coming too. Big names who would play Birdland during the week would then head out to Brooklyn for a gig at a senior center.
Wynton Marsalis has been here four times. Randy Weston, Lou Donaldson, Sonny Fortune.
Jazz 966 and Sisters have lasted through some major changes over the years. When they started, the neighborhood was pretty rough. Now, gentrification is raising rents and pushing out longtime tenants.
And we are concerned that we are being forced out of the community.
But other venues are trying to make the best of the changes.
The doors are coming off the hinges with people coming through.
Sankofa Aban is a bed and breakfast in a Victorian-era brownstone in Bed-Stuy. Debbie McLean owns the place that was originally her grandparents. It's been hosting jazz and a fish fry for guests and visitors every weekend for the past 5 years.
They can receive the same quality of jazz here as they do in many places in the city and at a lesser cost.
She's trying to capitalize on the new interest in the neighborhood while letting people know about its history.
There's a history of the community and the jazz greats that lived here.
Before every show, Eric Lemon, Debbie's partner and the bassist in the Brownstone Jazz House Trio, recaps that history.
That's the stuff that we've done research on to find out. Right around here are many clubs, but a lot of the clubs just disappeared. And Sister's Place was probably the one that was holding it down, from what I understand. But not as a club, but a room where people could still go and listen to the music.
Most of the older residents can still rattle off those old neighborhood clubs.
For them, that music was special. That's their world. We got to know where we've been, to know where we are and where we're going, and to bring it back to the community.
Local presenters, historians, and musicians are all doing their part to revive Brooklyn's jazz scene. The Central Brooklyn Jazz Consortium, a nonprofit made up of local activists, musicians, and community leaders, has presented the Central Brooklyn Jazz Festival for the past 16 years, which makes it the longest continually running grassroots jazz festival. This year, the festival is showcasing 500 musicians in about 50 events across Brooklyn, and Akua was one of those shows. She's used to playing big concert halls, but she doesn't mind taking a little pay cut to play these venues, too.
Those community places that had this music still need to exist.
Akua Dixon.
We're going to leave Akua and Sisters with Charles Mingus's Haitian Fight song, followed by the Abby Lincoln tune, Throw It Away.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Frederica Cree on violin. Figure made of clay. I think about the things I lost, the things I gave away. And when I'm in a certain mood, I search the halls and look. One night I found these magic words. They were in a magic book. Throw it away. Throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day, and keep your hand wide open. Let the sun shine through, 'cause you could never lose a thing if it belongs to. There's a hand to rock the cradle, and a hand to help you stand, with a gentle kind of motion as it sweeps across the land. Now the hand unclenched and open, gifts of life and love. So keep your hand wide open if you're needing anything. Throw it away. Just throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and and keep your hands wide open. Let the sun shine through, 'cause you could never lose a thing if it belongs to you. Abby Lincoln. Thank you. there's a natural obligation to what we own and claim. Possessing and belonging to, acknowledging a name. Now the hand unclenched and open, gifts of life and love they bring. So keep your hand wide open if you're needing anything. Throw it away, just throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day. And keep your hands wide open. Let the sun shine through, 'cause you could never lose a thing if it belongs to you. I said, throw it away. Just throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day. And keep your hand wide open. Let the sun shine through, 'cause you could never lose a thing if it belongs to you. Let me.
That's it for this week. The music was recorded and mixed by Steve Remote. Special thanks to Colette Peen. This week's episode was written and produced by Josie Holtzman. The show's editor is Rick Carr. Our senior producer is Katie Simon. Executive producers are Amy Niles, Gabrielle Armand, and Anya Grunt. I'm Christian McBride.
Thank you so much. Y'all always work me when I come.